Good afternoon. Welcome into another edition of Talk of the Town. I am Jason Allen, and normally I say I'm filling in for Denny Heindel, but today I actually have a very special guest by the name of Denny Heindel, the originator of Talk of the Town, at least as far as I'm aware. And it's an honor to have you on your own program.
Well, thank you. It's a privilege to be a guest on here also. How's that, you know? And thank you for filling in for me because you're doing a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And we've got a lot of interesting stuff that we have to cover here today. The presidential election, we are going to have a new president by the name of Donald Trump, a man who, Denny, you know him personally, right?
Yeah, we've known Donald now for about 17 years. My wife and I, we joined his club down there in Palm Beach, Mar-a-Lago. And, got some real good stories about Donald Trump. Certainly isn't the guy that was portrayed on TV that they tried to portray. Donald is a very, we've obviously seen him as a gentleman. He's very ambitious. He's extremely polite. He raises a lot of money for charity. They didn't hit on none of that. But with the good he does, it was all bad. But I can guarantee you, I hope they take a picture of the United States before and after his first term, because you're not going to believe it.
So now, what turned you on to, how'd you meet Donald Trump? Was that because you joined his club, or where'd that come about?
Well, that's how it came about, but the way it came about, I was with Tanya for a while there, and I got to know a jeweler on Worth Avenue, and he would make all their jewelry for Tanya.
North Avenue?
Worth Avenue.
Where's that at? Florida?
That's in Palm Beach, yeah.
Palm Beach, okay.
That's actually the second most expensive shopping street in the world. Oh. Yeah, next to Rodeo Drive out in California. But he's a jeweler. He was a jeweler there. We sort of struck up a friendship over the years. And when Donald opened it up for a club, he kept saying to me, you should join that. You're never going to go wrong, You got to get to know these people in Palm Beach, So... one night Rose and I were coming home, and I seen Donald's limousine pulling into the club there. So, we were out, and we had a couple of drinks, I have to be honest with you. So I pulled in right behind him, and I said, he was getting out of the car with Tiffany at the time, with Marla. Marla Maples was his wife at the time. And I sort of startled him when I went up to him, and I said, Donald, I'd like to join your club. And he said, great. He said, just leave your name there with the guard, and we'll be getting in touch with you. So I did. I left my name with the guard there, and I happened to be down there buying a boat. Maybe it might have been 4 or 5 months later, and I get a call from Donald Trump that they're having a special showing of the club, and he would like for me to be his guest. And I said, Donald, I didn't bring any clothes for something like that. I have shorts and that, but I can't. He said, look, you're my guest, wear shorts. I said, no, I can't do that. I'd rather not come up, And so then what I did when I hung up, I called his tailor, and that was around 4 in the afternoon. The tailor custom made me a suit, you might say. He chopped one up and made me a good-looking suit. And so I went up to the club, and, Donald, he was very polite, probably one of the first 5 members in the club to join.
You were?
Yes.
Okay, that's where I was going next. Yeah. So you were one of the first to really be in that Mar-a-Lago.
I can remember we had, we'd have the meetings in Mrs. Post from Post Cereals. She built that facility. Is 18 acres right in downtown Palm Beach. And, Mrs. Post had a dance hall, and we would have our meetings in the dance hall. And we might have 5 or 6 people at the meetings, new members. And, it was sort of fun, to be honest with you, to be around that type of people and to just see how they lived. And that Mar-a-Lago, the government had owned it. Well, it got to be too expensive for the government to keep it up. So they put it up for sale. Now, it was for sale for about 6 or 7 years. I forget what the final price was, but I think they had it for sale for like $15 million, which was a steal 25 years ago. And then Donald offered him like 12, and they wouldn't take it, so he waited another 5 years. I think he bought it for like $5 or $7-8 million. Well, then he had to go and redo it. It was just nothing but history, and it was actually boarded up and molded some places. So it took him about 3 years to redo that building. In the city of Palm Beach, they don't like new money. So Donald, they really put him through the ropes as far as putting the sprinkler systems in. It had to be so you couldn't see them. Had to be put back original. It was quite a job, and I'll tell you what, it's absolutely immaculate. When Donald does something, unless it's 110% right, he will not take it on. He thinks way out, not left field, but he thinks way above everybody else. He works tirelessly, endlessly. He used to fly down every Friday night and fly home every Monday. And, you know, his getting ahead of the story here a little bit, but his favorite thing on the menu, what do you think it would be? Now I'll interview you.
Well, I mean, you would think it's something like foie gras or, you know, something. But he might be a simple man. He might just go for a bacon cheeseburger or something.
The main thing that he loved on the menu was his mother's meatloaf.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's hard to beat mom's meatloaf, isn't it?
I thought that was sort of strange that he would like that. You know, he doesn't believe in a diet. He's a heck of a golfer. He's a heck of a golfer. He's won the championship at his club, I think, 3 times. Doesn't believe in exercise. He works. He only sleeps about 3 to 4 hours a night. Works constantly. Absolute perfectionist. I had a doctor from Du Bois, Dr. Johnson, the dermatologist, down as a guest. And we went golfing at one of his clubs, you know, because if it belonged to Mar-a-Lago, you can go to his other places,
right?
Whatever, you know, as a guest. We played golf in that course. It was like, you can't imagine. You're afraid to hit the ball if it's so perfect, you know? And they were so nice to us. It was incredible. But he's like that to everybody. I mean, I've seen him raise millions of dollars on the weekend for prostate cancer, for breast cancer, for the Red Cross. His donations are out of this world. But they didn't hit on none of that, and that sort of bothered me, you know, because I know him. After church, Rose and I would go up, and he'd have a buffet every Sunday, and we would sit there and talk like we're talking now, you know. When I would have guests there, I have to mention one guest from St. Mary's, and she's going to kill me for doing this, but Sandy and Bob, who own the St. Mary's Auto Body, they were our guests, and we took them up to Trump's. Well, Sandy, if she knows I'm telling this story, she'll kill me because she told me she would. But I told her, Sandy, he's going to come over and say hello to you. She said, oh, I've met a bunch of big stars over the years, no big deal. So with Donald Trump, so who cares? And I kept kidding with her. I said, Sandy, three tables away. So Donald came over and put his hand on her shoulder, said, how are you doing tonight, Danny? Who's your guest, whatever? And her face, her neck went red from her neck up to her head, and she couldn't speak, you know. And she said, if you ever tell somebody that story, I'll kill you, you know. But that's the way Donald Trump is, you know. He, when he would have a party at the club, he never had any hangers-on. You'd never see him on a cell phone. One minute, he'd be in one side of the room. Next minute, he'd be the other side, making sure his guests were taken care of, you know. And every Friday night, he'd go around to every table, you know. One other story I got, one of the owners of the Pirates was having a birthday party. And I think he got married January 21st. And the wife of the owners, Don Beaver's wife, called me and asked if I couldn't have a surprise party for Donald up at Mar-a-Lago. And I said, geez, I don't think he would do it the night before his wedding, you know. Well, I called up there at the club, and they said, Donald said for you, yeah, we'll do it, okay? So they had a little room set aside, and we had 28 guests there. Now, that's the night before he's getting married, and he had all these big stars there, and, I mean, he came around to everybody at that setting and said hello to them. Took pictures, if you want a picture with Donald, you know. I can remember one lady coming through the crowd, and I couldn't recognize her. Nobody would have recognized her, and Donald was behind her saying, "Do you know all these people? Do you know all these people?" Well, she got up there, and here was Barbara Walters. But, you know, even there, to have somebody up there the night before his wedding, I thought was sort of special, sure. You know, and to see some of the people. But I was for Donald way back when he was talking about running. You could see him just sitting back and just, you know, he's had enough. He's seen enough. He wanted to do something for this country, and the people out there voted for him, and all the people in the United States, believe me, when he does something, it's right. It's 110% right. The club is rated a 6-star club, not a 5-star. He wouldn't settle for a 5-star club. He wants a 6-star.
By the way, I do have the official number. It was $10 million in which Donald Trump paid to acquire Mar-a-Lago.
Really?
So, yeah, I mean, way below what they were asking for it. And he kind of held out and made the wise business decision to go with the price that he thought was a good price that he could make money with.
Yeah.
Well, he has, I'm sure.
It was in the paper down there when we just came back. He makes $9 million a year at that club, okay? And also, you know, what he did is everybody wanted something Miss Posts. So he had an auction. Now, he raised enough money from the auction to pay for Mar-a-Lago.
Wow.
Yeah, I can remember that being in the paper. And the club is only open like six or seven months out of the year. But to make that kind of money, you know, it's incredible. But it's a very, very special club, and we had a lot of fun there. We've been in it now, I think, about 17, 18 years. So, and also his butler, Tony, he became good friends of ours. And Tony was also the historian for the club. And Tony took us all around and showed us some rooms in there that maybe we shouldn't have seen, but it was quite an honor to have Tony. And he was a perfect butler, believe me. He looked like a butler, and he also acted like a butler. I mean, you'd see him going to Donald's quarters. He'd be carrying a tray, right? And then maybe about an hour later, he'd be carrying it out, taking Donald dinner into him, you know? So Tony was a good guy.
I think if you look at the demographics of the election and of the results, Donald Trump won in large part because he appealed to the middle-class working voter, and they came out in troves to support Donald Trump. I mean, places that Mitt Romney was not able to grab, specifically in Ohio and Pennsylvania, Donald Trump came in, and he won those counties in Pennsylvania. So what is it about Donald Trump that he can appeal to the people, the working-class people?
I think Donald... I heard one time that he had 23,000 employees, and people don't realize that. That's how big he is. And he has the nicest family. I mean, his boys, Ivanka, I mean, they're just so nice, and he can relate to that little guy, you know. He goes on the job and talks to the construction workers, you know. I said a long time ago that he would be president and a good president. Before anybody, even you, doubted me, you know, but no, he has everything it takes to be a good president, believe me.
When he officially announced that he was running for president, at that moment, did you actually believe that he was going to wind up as the next president, or did it take a little bit to hear from him and hear what he had going for him?
No, I had no doubt. I really didn't, and you can ask people around me that I had no doubt that he would be president. I can remember being up at my lodge in Canada fishing, Bernie Ambrose, Wayne, you know, and Bernie's brother, Mel, and saying we were talking who's running for president. And that's before Donald even announced. I said, I'll tell you what, if Donald Trump runs for president, he will be our next president. And they laughed at me, and they kidded me, whatever, you know. But Donald thinks out of the box, and I tell you, when he says he's going to build that wall, he will build that wall, and Mexico will pay for it, period. I guarantee you, you know.
Well, I want to talk about that thinking outside of the box, because I know you have a story of Donald Trump and the American flag.
Oh, yeah.
Where Donald Trump was sued, ended up giving some money to charity, but thought outside the box to still win a cause that was important to him. So I'm going to let you share that story for us.
Well, the story, the way I heard it and the way I seen it, is the flag is huge. And he, pretty much being in construction.
And was this in Mar-a-Lago?
Yeah, Mar-a-Lago. He had to know that he needed a permit to fly that flag, because Palm Beach, you need a permit for about anything, you know. Anyways, they seeing he was flying this big flag, it's huge. So they fined him $25,000 a day, okay? And he said, well, I don't think anybody should have to have a permit to fly the U.S. flag. Now, this is not because of politics. This happened about 7-8 years ago, okay? Maybe 5-8 years ago, okay, before he even ran. So anyways, they fined him like $25,000 a month, and that might be high. I'm not sure about that. However, he went and had his attorneys check out the municipal buildings in their flags, okay? Well, they were all out of compliance. So what does Donald do? He goes and sues the city for picking on him, okay? Then the city says, okay, time out. Now we have to sit down and talk, okay? So they sat down and talk, and they said, we would like for you to settle for $125,000. Yeah, he said, I'll do that, but I'll give it to charity, and the flag stays. And that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm correct, he actually ended up building up the land around the flag.
He made it higher.
So the distance from the top of the flagpole to the land was actually within the legal requirement. And I'm sure it cost him a whole lot of money to build up the land, but the flag was just as high regardless.
Exactly. He made a big mound there, and he put the flagpole on top of the mound.
Right.
You know, yeah. I tell you, you're not going to get ahead of him. Believe me, you're not. You know, talking with a guy that played golf with him, he would charge $100,000 to play golf. That's 18 holes of golf, but he would give the money to charity. You know, one night we went up when we first joined, and they had a big. Well, there was only maybe 15 or 20 members at the time, and Rose and I didn't know what to give. You know, and all these millionaires, what do we give, you know? So I gave him $5,000, and that was the biggest donation. I couldn't believe it, you know? Then another time, when he had the grand opening, you know, I mean, he had violins as you drove in and all that jazz, and Donald greeted you at the door. So I thought, well, we should buy him a gift. So I bought him a bottle of wine, you know? I didn't know that he did not drink. Well, what happened is, nobody else bought him nothing. Can you believe that? Mm. And that's why I think he remembered Rose and I, you know.
I think it's difficult. What do you give to the man who already has everything? I mean, and seriously, what could you or I or anybody else actually give to Donald Trump that he can't or doesn't already have?
Right, right. So you I gave him a bottle of wine. I thought maybe they enjoy it for dinner some night, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. But it was quite a thing. That what's going to happen to the club now, I don't know. You know, I imagine he's still going to go up there and, you know, whatever. I don't know, you know.
Earlier on, you were talking Trump only sleeps 3 or 4 hours a night. So he's going to have to turn all of his businesses over to his kids or trustees, whatever he's going to choose to do with it. Do you think once he's only focused on the presidency, he might actually get more sleep?
I don't know. I don't know. He is so ambitious, and he is so motivated. You know, I don't really think he'll get more sleep. You know, he's just the way he is, you know. He's a big man. He's very big. He had the best tailors in the world, I've always said, you know, because it makes him look thinner and whatever. But when he's out there playing tennis, for instance, and, you know, he's a big guy,
sure,
bigger than what you think he is, you know. And it was funny, when he won Florida during the primary, I said to Rose, let's go up. So we went up, and, you know, it was, we couldn't even get near him. There were so many Secret Service around him, you couldn't imagine. And I've been around presidents before, but never seen that much of a security, you know. And Rose took a sign with her, and she was there waving a sign. It was the only sign in the place that we had, right? It sort of embarrassed a little bit, but it was on a TV that night, you know. But, you know, that sort of amazed me that Secret Service all over the place and never seen nothing like it, and we couldn't get to say hello to him. The same guy that we sat maybe once a month with to have brunch. Yeah, you know.
Why do you believe that Donald Trump can make America great again?
Because I've seen what he's done. I've seen him take that club from nothing. Everybody bet against him that, at the club. I've seen him build those golf courses. He bought Doral, as you know, paid, what, I think, $200 million for it, and gave shut it down, gave Ivanka $250 million to fix it up. You got to see it. It's incredible, you know. I've seen what he can do, how he does it, how he thinks, and how his brand is, pretty much. He's a brand, and he's a very good promoter. It's showed on TV, you know. But when he sets his mind to something, he does it. He hates to lose. He's not a good loser at all. He loves to win. And, you know, I've seen him at the worst time in his life when the bankruptcies were there, and I've seen him at the best time of his life, you know. And I don't know. It's just something about him. You just like him when you meet him. He's a perfect gentleman, like I said earlier. He's very easy to talk to. You can carry a conversation about baseball, football, whatever you want. He knows. And, you know, he's just a delight to be around, to be honest with you. Yeah. And even his family. Why he didn't bring the family a little bit more forward in it during the election, I was surprised. And even some of the people that work for him, if they would see and meet some of these people. I mean, they're just like perfect people, you know. And how he has that knack of getting good people around him, I think he'll do the same thing in the White House. He will get the best people in the world around him. And that's just going to make him a success, and that's what has made him a success all these years, yeah.
Speaking of people in the White House, you guys are close friends. Has he reached out to you or offered you a cabinet position yet?
No. However, I did reach out to him. I have his email and everything, but I never heard from him. But he's been pretty busy, I'm sure. We'll probably get invited to inauguration. I've been to one. I don't think I'd want to go to another one. It's just too much crowd, too much going on, too fast. And, you know, but it's an honor to go, you know. But being a member of the club, I imagine he'd invite all the members, you know. But I really am glad that he got in there. Hillary, yeah, she knew a lot, and she was around a lot. But I really think for the betterment of the country, the voters did the right thing in voting Trump in there.
Well, and ultimately at this point, regardless of how anybody feels, it doesn't matter because Donald Trump is the president-elect, and he will take the office on January 20th, mm-hmm. as is custom now every year. And I'm sure that some people will hate that, and as we know, the majority of the country, at least per the electoral vote, has voted him in, and I think it's going to be a real opportunity to see what a Republican president with a Republican House and Senate can do, and I think it's going to be all or nothing, really, on this presidency for the Republican Party.
Oh, yeah, it will be, you know, and when you do have that kind of power, I mean, hopefully they all get along. And Donald will organize it pretty good that they do get along, believe me. You know, he's very, very good at that. And, you know, I see nothing but the best, you know, for business, for the working guy, for the whole country, you know. Some of this stuff has been going on for years and years and years that has to be stopped, you know, and he will try his best. And as you also know, that he can only do so much. You know, a lot of times, you know, they can't do everything they say. But believe me, Trump will give it a hell of a try, you know. One other time I had a friend down there, Tim Snyder. He works up here at one of the car dealerships. And there's Titer and I and Donald. Underneath the road, Donald, on the other side of the road, he has a beach club. And that's what Mrs. Post had. And that's a special membership over there. But me and Donald and Titer were walking underneath the road with Donald over to the beach club, okay? Well, he just went over to check it out to make sure everything was right and everything. And then we walked back with him. And I think that was probably the highlight of Titer's life, except when he got married or had a baby, whatever. But it was sort of fun to see two little guys from Degascahana with Donald Trump walking across to see his beach club, you know. It was a lot of fun. And even on the way back, Donald had put his crest, you know, Trump crest. Well, the city complained about that because he didn't have a permit again. He said to me, he said, "What do you think I should put Johnson?" You know what I mean? I mean, that's the way he is. But you ask what made him get elected, he can relate to about anybody, you know. One time we had Garth Brooks there on a Sunday morning, and I've known Garth since he was, before he was signed, when I was in the music business. And Garth came over and said, "Where's Rose at?" You know, and Donald looked at me and says, "How do you know him?" You know, and I think that's when I took Titer up there and his wife, and they have a picture with Garth and Trump and, you know, us at the club. Yeah, you know. But why Donald Trump? I don't know. He's just a guy that I met that ended up being president, I guess.
One final thought here for you, but before we close up. Agree or disagree with this one? Donald Trump, he'd run for president before he'd run a mile.
I know. That's what I'm saying. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
Don't ever play golf against him. No, no. He is tough. I won't
play golf to win against him. How about that? I can barely beat my own scores on the golf course.
I know. But, you know, he's very competitive, extremely competitive, you know. And when he's the type of individual, when he walks into the room, you just get that feeling somebody special is there, you know? And I couldn't say enough good about him. And, yeah, we know him to talk to. But, you know, we never bothered him that much. I had Father Brian down one time, and we were having some dinner, and I seen Donald walk by. I said, "Hey, Donald, could Father get a picture with you?" He said, "Certainly, come on down." We got a little landing there. And as we were standing to get the picture, some guy was taking it for us. You know, I put Donald in the middle and me on each side of him. Father on one side, me on the other. And Donald said, no, this guy goes in the middle, Father. He put him in the middle, you know. Then he always had the thumbs up thing. We always went to his Super Bowl party. That was a great thing to go to. He had hot dogs, hamburgers, nothing like you would think you would have at a Donald Trump party. But I think he only charged like $15 or whatever it was. I don't know. But the kids were running around, whatever. When they showed me around the first time, I forgot to tell you. The lady, I get in the office, and the lady gave me the paperwork and everything to sign. And she said, "Did you notice who was around the pool?" I said, "I really didn't notice, you know." Well, here Marla was with Tiffany, okay? So I said, "I want to take another look at that pool." So we go out, and there's Marla reading a book and little Tiffany there. And they invited us to take Kelly up there to play with the little Tiffany. And Tiffany at the time had 24-hour security, you know, a little Chinese lady. She was with her 24 hours a day, you know. And I thought that was unusual, but that's the way they live, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone might kidnap the baby or something. But we took Kelly up, I think, twice to play. And Marla was great. I mean, and even this.
By the way, Kelly's your daughter.
Yeah, people, my daughter.
Yeah, who want everyone to know that.
But even his wife now, I mean, she's very, very smart. I don't know what she speaks, what, 6 or 8 languages. We were there the first night that Donald introduced her, and we sat beside Mrs. Post's granddaughter, and she grew up in that house. And, you know, that's pretty much the elite of Palm Beach. And those flash bulbs went off, you couldn't even see, when Donald brought his wife onto the stage, his girlfriend at the time onto the stage. But the whole Palm Beach, you know, the gossip, you know, and couldn't wait to see who his girlfriend was. I'll never forget that, you know. But she's a nice lady. She's very, very polite. I mean, she talks. She's very intelligent also, you know. Beautiful lady, you know. But, and, you know, to raise a family like Donald has over the years, to have the kids get along like they do, and to be that smart, that's really something. And he gives them the rein. You say, what's he going to do, hand it over? I think he already probably has handed over most of it because he was looking for something to do, I believe.
Well, he has to hand it over now. He's got to hand it over to somebody.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the story of Donald Trump. Going to miss him a little bit. I don't know, like I say, whether he's going to come down on the weekend yet. Probably some will, some won't. Be security all over the place, I'm sure. But, you know, we just have to wait and see if it,
see how it goes.
Works out, yeah. Yeah.
Well, Denny, thank you for joining us today on Talk of the Town. And I want to go back and clarify just real quick. Kelly, your granddaughter, yeah. Not your daughter. I misspoke there for a second. But, yeah, Kelly is your granddaughter. And thanks for coming on Talk of the Town today and for sharing your stories about Donald Trump, the president-elect.
Well, I tell you what, there's a lot more I could say, but that's just a few. And thank you for having me as your guest. And thank you for doing a good job.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.